to explain the psalm this morning, let's turn together to Psalm 89D, as in dog. 89D. And let's read it together before we explain it and then sing it. That way we have an opportunity to go over three times. We read it, and then we think about it, and then we sing it. And the 89D, stanza 10, is verse 15 in the King James Version. I don't know whether you've made the connection between the number, the stanza number, and the verse number or not, but you need to know what that is. And let's read it together and think about it, because then we're going to explain it, so you'll be able to sing with understanding. Let's read together. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. In brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. Yes, they rejoice in thy great name with gladness all the day. And in thy perfect righteousness, exalted high are they. Thou art the beauty of their strength, who dost them glorify. And by thy favor, thy goodwill, our horn is lifted high. Because our shield belongs to him, the Lord will safety bring, the Holy One of Israel. He only is our King. This psalm was probably written during the administration of King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who sinned. He sinned. And he led Israel into sin. And God punished Israel. It's a very, very ancient picture called the Picture of Karnak, which actually shows a Jewish man. And the picture inscription calls it the King of Judah. The King of Judah, that would have been Hezekiah, bringing tribute to Pharaoh Shishonk. Now that's the way it is spelled as far as the Egyptian spelling is concerned, Shishonk. But in 1 Kings 14 and in 2 Chronicles 12, the Bible describes how Pharaoh Shishak conquered Rehoboam and Judah and took away the shields, the golden shields that Solomon had made. But because Rehoboam and Judah were repenting of their sin, Pharaoh Shishak didn't destroy them and didn't march them all the way down into Egypt to be his slaves. In other words, God protected them. He was their shield. He was their protector. When they repented, he forgave. And that helps to explain the joy and the strength in this whole psalm, and especially in this 89D part. The words of this hymn that related to our own current events. I hope you're reading the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Because you see, to put it in terminology that we would recognize today, Israel had just been bombed. She'd been attacked. She'd been terrorized by the Pharaoh Shishak out of Egypt. And then God had rescued her. And I hope something of that joy will come into your voices as we sing those songs. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound they know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. It didn't cut us off and stop us, but we're going to get to go on. And then that next stanza, yes, they rejoice in thy great name with gladness all the day, and in thy perfect righteousness exalted high are they. Is it possible that America would be exalted even higher in the eyes of the world as a result of that bombing? Is that possible? Well, this is, as a matter of fact, what happened with Israel in this situation here with Shishak. And then in stanza 12, they know now that God is the only one who could have rescued them. And that he's done that. In 12, thou art the beauty of their strength, who dost them glorify, and by thy favor, thy goodwill, our horn is lifted by. He is lifted high. He has forgiven them. He has rescued them. And by thy favor, thy goodwill, our horn is lifted high. All through the Old Testament, that word horn is very significant. It signifies strength and power and authority. And there's a natural reason for that. The animal uses his horns to push others around and assert his authority and his strength. And people learn to cut those horns off. You know the story about the little boy daddy. When does the deer ever blow his horns? Well, he doesn't blow them. But men learn to cut those horns off. As a matter of fact, they still do that. When animals become mean with their horns, they dehorn them. But the people learn to cut those horns off and hollow them out, and then they use them. They use them to blow through, to order a charge, to call people together, to assert authority. To cut off the horns of a nation was really to dehorn them, leave them powerless. To lift up their horn, all through Scripture, is to exalt them, as God did here. Let me encourage you to do a study of the word horn throughout the Old Testament. You'll find it very exciting. The horn, the way the word is used. Here, after their defeat by Shishak and then their rescue, God's rescue, these people are singing because of your favor and your goodwill. Our horn is not just cut off in our way. It's lifted high. The same thing could be true for America today in terms of current events and the war in Afghanistan. The other interesting word is the word shield in that next stanza. Because our shield belongs to God, the Lord will safely bring the Holy One of Israel. He only is our King. Shishak or Ben-Laden is not our king. He could have been. Maybe he could have been. But he's not. Because God is our king. Shield is such an important thing to them in those days. It could mean the difference between life and death. Having the right shield and knowing how to use the shield you did have. Made out of wood or leather or cloth. Big. Some of them were body length. The Romans, anyhow, learned to hook their shields together, and they just sort of moved forward with the shield in front, a whole phalanx, and they were sort of a tank. Then there were the other little shields, round and square and triangle and all other kinds that you could really use. Some of them were concave, some of them convex. But shields were a very important part, and the way a man was able to use his shield could mean the difference between life and death. And sometimes they had the insignia of their outfit. You know, how we men in the Navy, we had our insignia. And the men in the different outfits had their insignia. Well, they had their insignia, many of them had, on their shields. Solomon had made 100 shields of gold. More than hundreds. He made hundreds of shields of gold. And when Shishak attacked and won, they gave him those shields. So now the people sing it, stanza 13, because our shield belongs to God, and so do we as a nation. There's another picture that I'd like you to see, and maybe you children will be interested in this picture, but I know every father will, and most of you fathers have seen this at one time or another, talking about the whole psalm now. The little boy who'd done something wrong, it could be a little girl, but anyhow, they've done something wrong. And they know that as soon as daddy gets there, they're going to have to be paddled. And as soon as daddy comes through the door, he sort of sidles up to him and begins admiring daddy's attributes. 89A, 89B, 89C, the attributes of the God. And daddy's big, strong arms Look at 89C there for just a minute in stanza 9, just back one. For o'er the swelling of the sea thou rulest by thy will, and when its surging billows rise thou biddest them be still. Now, that's not the one I wanted. Oh, the last one, 13th stanza. Thou hast an arm of strength, thy hand is strong, thy right hand high. Daddy, you're so strong. You're so strong. And how much you've always said you love me. And even when I do something wrong, you said you love me. And that even when you had to paddle me. Well, by this time, Daddy knows something's coming. And yet he lets the wee boy go bravely on about how you love me, even when I do wrong, and you have to paddle me for it. Well, now, Daddy, I've done wrong again. Now, what a tremendous pull that has on the heart of a father, and especially on the heartstrings of the Father in heaven, when we come to the point that Israel as a nation had come to back to then, at the days of Hezekiah and Shishak. God, we've done wrong again. We've done wrong again. You've had to punish us. You've had to paddle us. But you love us, don't you? Don't you love us anyway? And we literally throw ourselves into the arms of the Father in heaven. David did this when he was offered the option of being paddled by the enemy or paddled by God for counting the troops, for numbering the army. And he chose to put himself into the hands of God at that point. Application, Lord, Roy is going to remember this psalm the next time it comes to the place where he has to be paddled by God. I'm going to put a note in this psalm. God says, I like this idea. This is not wrong. I'm going to write it into my book. Let's sing it together. Psalm 89D. We'll rise to sing and remain standing for the invocation. Oh, prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for being our shield. Now we thank you for bringing us together into your house on your day, a whole day that you set aside to bring your tribes into your house, to sing to your praise, to speak to you in prayer, to give to you an offering, to think your thoughts after you. God, bless us with your presence. And you've said that where two or three were gathered together in your name, there you'd be right in their midst. And so we know you're here. And you've promised that your word would never go out and return to you void, but always accomplish precisely what you please and prosper in the thing where you send it. So, Lord, I pray you just cover me up with your word today. Cause people to remember your word and forget me, and to learn directly from you. And we thank you for that. We invoke your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.